D2, number 15A.
You have to keep in mind that this chart is only a graphical symbol of what exists in reality. That is, that it gives a model of how reality works, has worked, is working, will ever work. Let me take today, or this evening, the first record of creation to see how those people at that time and how Mrs. Eddy at her time in her interpretation of the days of creation were catching the tone of that word, vertical column of the chart. I take this in order to show and to illustrate to us that what we are doing and thinking now is not something new, but something which existed always, and that even always those who listen to the divine will catch that music. If we take the first record of creation in the Bible and Mrs. Eddy's interpretation, we'll see that the first two verses which introduce the 7 days of creation are really showing the standpoint of science itself, then divine science, and then absolute Christian science, and then Christian science, where the 7 days of creation start in. I therefore read of Mrs. Eddy's text, and we will see how that tune just unfolds. The Bible starts with Genesis 1 and says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And Mrs. Eddy takes that verse and puts it into our day's language and says, "The infinite has no beginning." You see, she was courageous enough to challenge the Bible. The Bible said in the beginning, and Mrs. Eddy said there was no beginning. Well, it's challenging the Bible, not by saying the Bible is wrong, but by giving to the Bible the up-to-date interpretation. So she says the infinite has no beginning. The word beginning is employed to signify the only. She superforms the term beginning into the only, and sees the only is naturally the beginning and the end. The Italian language is rather nice in that case, because the Italian reads in its principio, which means principio can be the beginning or the principle, just as you interpret it. So we can see that we can begin with principle, which is the only. That principle as the starting point. Then she goes on and explains further that is the eternal verity and unity of God and man, including the universe. So she goes on and says that only, which is on the level of science, is on the level of divine science, the unity of creator and creation, of God and man. Then she goes further and shows that oneness in absolute Christian science, and goes on and says the creative principle, life, truth and love. Now it's suddenly the creative principle. See, now we get the sense of principle as life, which it says is life, truth and love is God. But now we get the impulsion of that principle, where life says, I am the urge, the infinite creative urge, the creative impulsion that goes on. The universe reflects God. Now it's reflection. Before, it was just unity. In a unity, you don't have reflection. In a unity of creator and creation, there is no reflection. All what one can have is reflection. in divine science. But the moment we come to principle and idea, where principle looks at itself as the idea of principle, there we have reflection. There is but one creator and one creation. See, now it is a creator and a creation. Before it was the unity of God and man. Now it's the creator and creation. And then she goes further in that development, right to the point of Christian science, and says what that creation is, see, explains how the idea unfolds, and says this creation consists of the unfolding of spiritual ideas and their identities. We have ideas which are spiritual and have identities, mind, spirit, soul, which are embraced in the infinite mind and forever reflected. These ideas range from the infinitesimal to infinity, and the highest ideas are the sons and daughters of God. So in this last point of Christian science, if we don't take the text syntactically, is there a word like that, as an ordered syntax, but as a spiritual order, we see that she explains that creation as ideas, ideas of mind, that are spiritual, that have identity, which are classified, which are forever, eternal life, which have as its highest creation sons and daughters, and which are all embraced by mind, love. So, in this little verse of Genesis 1, which the Bible just gives us one compound statement, Mrs. Eddy takes it and analyzes it through the four levels. See, first there is the only one, principle. Then it says that principle is life, truth and love, in which God and man is one. Then, in absolute Christian science, that this principle is a creative principle, namely life, truth and love, which brings out infinite reflections. What is this infinite reflection as idea? Then on the level of Christian science, this reflection as idea is an unfoldment of ideas through the seven. The Bible has then a second verse which picks up the thought of a so-called supposition of an opposite and says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Here the proposition is being brought up. What about the human concept of darkness and chaos? Is there something like that? And she shows that viewed rightly, there isn't. She starts right in and interprets that and says, well, from the point of view of science itself, in principle, the divine principle and idea constitute spiritual harmony, heaven and eternity. In this universe of truth, matter is unknown. We have always seen that on the level of science itself, we say to every supposition of error, I don't know you. It's a wrong question. I can't answer that question, it's a wrong question, it's unknown. No supposition of error enters there. Then she goes on and says, but what does divine science say to that situation of darkness? And she goes on to the level of divine science and says, divine science, the word of God, says to the darkness upon the face of the error, God is all in all. See, it doesn't argue with the darkness. It doesn't say to the darkness, go away. I disperse you. I destroy you. It says to the darkness, I am all in all. You see, the way, the method of handling error on that level, that's how we should handle error on that level, that to every supposition of error we say, I don't argue with you, I just pour out all what I have, infinite light. the all in all. And the light of ever-present love illumines the universe. Then I think she takes in the sense of absolute Christian Science and says, hence the eternal wonder that infinite space is peopled with God's ideas, reflecting Him. See, now you have reflecting Him. I always have a feeling that the moment we have true reflection of principle, this is on the level of absolute Christian Science, because absolute Christian Science has to do with how the divine principle reflects Himself as ideas. It's no more the reflex image, it's the reflected image, reflecting Him in countless spiritual ideas. And then comes the third verse, for starting of the 7 days of creation, which we know, those 7 days of creation symbolize the 7 stages on the level of Christian Science. Mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love. And what does it do to that state of Christian Science? See, what it does is what Mrs. Eddy explains the days of creation are, namely she speaks about the ascending scale of being, about each successive stage in progress. Can you hear that stage sense, that rising higher sense? She speaks of periods of progress, not of progression, of spiritual steps, that these days of creation show periods of progress, periods of spiritual ascension, of ascending order, rising from the lowest to the greater, ascending higher and higher, advancing spiritual steps. That's her wording out of the 7 days of creation when she indicates what these 7 days of creation as a one denominator want to show. We see at once that this descending line from science to divine science to absolute Christian Science, this tremendous impulsion from above, the influx from above, comes finally to the level of Christian Science in order to do what? In order to make thought ascend up, thereby again giving the eternal rhythm, this time in the vertical. We had it sometimes in the horizontal through the word Christ, Christianity and Science. So again we see here that it is a self-organizing system, namely that the influx of light that comes from the infinite principle has, through the principle of identity within us, that reaction that thought is also enlightened, that it says, oh, I caught the light, let there be light, and I see the light, and that understanding unfolds and ascends higher and higher, and has progress of successive stages higher and higher, so that the descending power really has as its effect an ascending understanding. It is a rhythm within itself. It isn't that sense that we say, I start with the days of creation, so therefore I turn to the light. Then, secondly, I separate the true from the wrong. I identify everything aright in the third, and so on. Here, on this higher concept of the days of creation, no more on the metaphysical level of the sense of the days of creation, I see that those 7 days of creation are the effect of the descent of the Holy Ghost. And therefore, the more I open up myself for the influx of the divine light, the more light is propelled in me through that identity of the divine subject and the objective approach of the student. Through that identity, the influx of light produces light in the student and says, come on, old boy, I show you this. Then the influx of light says to that light, I develop for you that light, the second day. then that influx of light which comes to me says afterwards to me, and I'm going not only to give you light and to develop it, I also identify it to you so that you know what it is all about. The third day. On the fourth day it says that the influx of light coming to me says, and this light which I'm going to order and to unfold and to identify for you is going to govern you. It's going to govern your consciousness and your life and your everything. It is going in the fifth day to exalt your thought, to exalt your life. It's going in the sixth day to give you dominion. But it's always the influx that comes that propels this. Is that the right term, to propel it? Yeah, good. And on the seventh day, really, it's again that influx of light which I let in has within itself the power to propel the seventh day of creation, where that first touch of light finds now its purpose and fulfillment. So, reading this way, the days of creation and Mrs. Eddy's interpretation, we begin to sense that perhaps we have to take on this more comprehensive sense, all-inclusive sense of how the days of creation work. I know that when we began to see, or not we, when John Dolly began to see the days of creation and taught it to us, and we really felt, well, now we have reached the crown of understanding, and we were trying to see those days of creation in a linear way, approaching to it from outside, getting some light, then separating the light from the darkness, and separating the weeds from the tares, we doing it, we knowing what is important, what is unimportant, what is right, what is wrong, we separating it. Well, it was giving us the first approach to these 7 days of creation. And I always wondered why, if that is the beginning of all, why that is not the first chapter of the textbook. I just never could make out why she didn't put that 7 days of creation at the beginning of the textbook, if the textbook is the textbook which is written for the newcomer, for the one who seems to be outside of God and wants to approach being. And so, today naturally we see that, viewed rightly, those days of creation are the outcome of that tremendous descent of information that comes from the infinite divine principle. And therefore, it is propelled by the descent of the Holy Ghost. And it isn't a matter of we going along the days of creation. Now, as you remember, then at one point, Mr. Dolly showed us that these days of creation, that was in 49, were really the outcome of absolute Christian science, of life, truth, and love. In 1948 in Oxford, he showed the days of creation as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. 1 year later, he showed the days of creation as days of life, truth, and love, impelling the ascending thought of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. We can see that in his very last year, he took those days of creation out of the days of creation sense, out of the approach sense, and said, this is not really the way of science, because it was in that year that for the first time he made the difference between metaphysics and science. He never made that difference before. Only in 49 he began to see that there is an enormous difference between metaphysics and science, and so presented the 7 days of creation no more from the metaphysical standpoint as he did up to that point, but from the standpoint of science, and science is the descent from the Infinite One. Well, is there any difference in that? The text is the same. The 7 days of creation are the same, the text is the same. Well, are we not talking about a purely academical question, or is it a question which has greatest importance? Yes, naturally, this is a tremendous difference if we look at something in a metaphysical way or we look at something in the way of science. If we look at it in the way of science, from a higher standpoint, from the Infinite One, then naturally our symbols are higher. Then the days of creation become days of life, truth and love. The symbols become fewer. The fewer the symbols become, the more powerful they are always, because the most powerful symbol is the One. Therefore, if we can see something from the standpoint of fewer symbols, but of higher symbols, naturally, then our approach is more powerful, it has more dignity, it has more majesty, it has more peace in it, it has more grandeur in it, it has more certainty in it. It gains in every way and shape. So while we first had perhaps just that third degree of wisdom, purity, spiritual understanding, spiritual power, love, health, holiness, and then John Dolly showed us that we had a higher sense of these, that these really are days of mind, and combined them with a synonymous term and said these are really stages of thought going along, the days of mind, the day of spirit, the day of soul, of principle, of life, truth and love. Then in 49 took it out on a higher plane and said these are not days of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth and love, but they are days of life, truth and love, impelling mind, impelling spirit, impelling soul, impelling principle, and life, and truth, and love. So, at that point, he showed us that really, the days of creation as given in the Bible and as interpreted by Mrs. Eddy can be viewed from quite a different standpoint, namely from the standpoint of life, truth, and love. Here is a little injection in a side remark. We say the Bible is the truth. Sometimes we say that. Now, the Bible is not the truth, but the Bible tells about the truth. The truth is bigger than the Bible. And I say this because what made John Dolly suddenly look at the Bible from the standpoint of life, truth and love? Not the text of the Bible. It was his spiritual culture of the tones of the structure of being, in which he saw always that on the level of absolute Christian science, your thought is at life, truth and love. And the more that thought became tangible to him, more factual to him, then on that ground he could find scriptural authority for what he felt. But his new vision was from being and not from the Bible. Just as Mrs. Eddy's revelation was not from the Bible, we know that. She is very explicit that it was a revelation from God, and that in the Bible she felt she found authority for what she has seen. And that's naturally the greatness of these great books, what we call Offenbarungsbücher, books of revelations, books which have been written by a revelation. You see, that if it is true revelation, they contain much more than what we see at a stage, at one stage. That with every new stage, so to say, we begin to see that the Bible also contains it. Though the Bible hasn't given us the new stage. The Bible hasn't given Mrs. Eddy Christian science. Christian science came to her, and she said it came to her in a language which nobody would understand, and then she searched the scripture and found it's there too. And Mr. Dawley, too, he didn't find anywhere an indication, neither in the textbook nor in the Bible, that these 7 days of creation constitute a fundamental, universal, irresistible order. It was inspiration, revelation that told him, and then he found proof in the Bible. And so let's see that, you see, that actually we read in the textbook and in the Bible only that which we have already within ourselves. We can hardly read anything more in those books than has been unfolded within ourselves. So the Bible and the textbook are ladders let down from heaven, but the angels come to us and show us the ladder, and show us the steps of the ladder. So the more we gain distance so that we see the wholeness of being, the more something more comprehensive, more structural is revealed to us. And then when we go back to the Bible or to the textbook, we suddenly say, oh, they said that long ago. They said that too. Why didn't we see it? I read it so often. You see, we always read what we have within ourselves. Therefore, no one, so to say, can think further or higher than what he's thinking. But if we know the method of how new revelation comes into us, then we open ourselves up to the infinite one, and therefore we can be raised above what we are. And so at that time, John Dawley showed us that those days of creation are really days of life, truth, and love. Quite important. There's nothing academic about it. And he showed that, therefore, the first day of creation, which we called mind, was really not a day of creation of mind, but was really life, truth, and love, expressing itself, impelling mind to give birth to its own revelation. Life, truth, and love saying to mind, now, come on, let there be light. And then God saw that light, it became factual, and that light became a day, it was fulfilled. So it was not mind that said, I'm going to be light, and that light will be a fact, and that light will be completely fulfilled. It is that music of life, truth, and love that sounds its horn, so to say, of life, truth, and love. And through that impulsion, mind, so to say, gives out its treasures.